you need a copy of the lesson, if you'll hold up your hand, we'll get that to you. Anyone need a copy of the lesson tonight? Okay, we are looking at prayer tonight. Normally we have a week of prayer this time of year, but this year we decided to just put the emphasis upon prayer in a Wednesday night service and do that. And we will, Lord willing, be back on a week of prayer in the month of January to start off the year. So we're just going to the couple or three Wednesdays that we have in August, we're going to be emphasizing prayer. And then back in September, we'll finish up on the Bible doctrines misunderstood. But prayer is an important thing. Prayer, as I said here in the notes, is the key to power in the church. There are other things that need to be right, for sure, but prayer is the key to power in the church. And here, we're going to look in James chapter 5, verse 16 there, where the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So the Bible is very clear that prayer is powerful. A lot of verses that we could go to, but I want to just stick in this passage tonight and find some things about prayer that require the requirements, as I've called it, of powerful praying. I put some quotes in there. John Bunyan said, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." And what he was meaning by that is that we need to be sincere when we pray. So often, if you're like me, you have a list. I have a list that I pray through, and sometimes that can get kind of, it's a labor to do it, and it can get kind of routine with it. And I just kind of run through my list and don't really put my heart into it. And our heart needs to be there when we pray. And he went on to say, "Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer." And of course, D.L. Moody, who moved 2 continents for the Lord, said, "He who kneels the most stands the best." He also said, "Those who have left the deepest impression on this sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer." And Leonard Ravenhill was always working for revival and to bring revival. And he said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Much interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." And he was referring to prayer there. Fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. And J. Hudson Taylor said, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards." That's not the way you do it. You tune up your instrument before. "Begin the day with the Word of God in prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him." And those are just some of the many quotes of people who have been powerful for the Lord. Some of their quotes, there are so many of them out there, we could just spend the whole evening talking of men who accomplished great things. And we're going to look at one of them tonight that's in the Scripture. There are several in the Scripture, but one in particular. And then the most important one of all is our Lord. And He was a man of prayer. So we learn from this passage of Scripture in the book of James chapter 5, the first thing is confess your faults one to another. There must be confession of sin. Now, we know when we confess sin, we don't confess it to one another. We confess it to the Lord. And the Bible tells us there in Psalm 66, verse 18, many of you can quote that verse. It says, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. And in Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah is an amazing book. It has a lot of prophecy in the book of Isaiah concerning the end times. And we see those things taking shape, which leads us to believe that Jesus is coming very soon. Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So it's very clear that if we're going to harbor sin in our life, there's things there we should deal with and we won't deal with them, it's going to hinder our prayer life. It's not going to be a powerful prayer that way. Mark chapter 11. These are, again, familiar verses. But I've often said that familiar is usually the most neglected. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Necessary to pray and ask the Lord to forgive us. Proverbs 28:9. This is a passage that is often neglected in the realms of the members of the local church. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Now some could argue that that means that if he hears it and he refuses to follow it, then his prayer is abomination. But it could also mean that if you don't come for the hearing of the law, for the preaching of the word of God, please God by the foolishness of preaching, and if you refuse to come, that would mean to me that very possibly those folks who only see the importance of Sunday morning church, they're not here on Sunday night, they don't come Sunday school, they don't come Wednesday night or Sunday night, that possibly that is a hindrance to their prayers. I would think, based upon this verse, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. And that's what they're doing. Now, some have good excuse. Some have to work, and that's excusable. They have to work in places where you have to have people working there, hospitals and different places like that. There are some places, though, that people wouldn't have to work on Sunday, but they do. That's a different story. So we need to realize that there has to be confession of sin if we're going to have powerful praying. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7 says this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So there's a matter here of a husband doing what he should be doing, taking care of his family, his wife, and setting a godly example in the home. And if he doesn't do that, his prayers are hindered. So that's just a little bit about it. There's much more we could talk about in confession and getting things right and things in our life that we know we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, we need to deal with. We need to exercise 1 John 1:9 and confess our sins and He is faithful to cleanse us from our sins and all unrighteousness. Secondly, we find from this passage, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for another. And secondly, there we must pray. There can be no answer to prayer if we do not pray. That's kind of common sense, isn't it? The Bible has some things to say about this. Praying one for another is mentioned quite a bit in the scripture. We should pray for one another. One of the things that I find is very helpful for me in my prayer time is the church picture book. And I use the church picture book in my prayer time. And for people who are not in the picture book, I write them in the alphabetical order. And that way I'm able to pray for the whole congregation. And somebody new comes in, well, I'd add them to my picture book. That's a good thing to pray for one another. And then I try to use the church prayer sheet that we give out. I don't know if I still have it up here. This, yes, I have another one at home. And I use that in my prayer time to pray for one another. We should be praying for one another. That's what he says here, pray for one another. And if you notice how it's said here, it says, and get in the right place, I'm in 1 Peter. It says, and pray one for another. It didn't say you have a choice about it. It says it's written in the way of a command to pray for one another. And so if you're not praying for one another in the church, then what are you doing? You're not doing what you should be doing. And if you're not to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if there is sin, what does that do to our praying? It hinders it. So if we're not willing to pray for one another, there's a hindrance to our prayers. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18. Praying once in a while. No? Under the Christian armor, we have praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the things, the problems that I have. No, it says for all saints. We're to persevere. Does it take time to pray for everybody? Yes. Is it laborious? Yes. But that doesn't free us from our responsibility to pray for one another. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus there was speaking about prayer. He is our great example when it comes to prayer. He who is God the Son. What did he do while he walked upon the earth while we see him praying? We read that he spent the night in prayer several times. He spent the whole night in prayer. He was a man of prayer, and being God the Son, the Creator himself, left us an example of the importance of prayer. And he says here in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That was the subject of this parable that he told him about the widow in that city. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should be always in prayer. Never give up to keep our prayer life what it ought to be. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Here is a great example of the Apostle Paul's prayer life. He said that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. What a great missionary he was. He wrote half of the New Testament under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He started churches all over Asia. And I've often said that if you could trace back who won you to Christ and who won you to Christ and who won you to Christ and who won you and you and you and you and you, and you, and you keep on going back, you'd probably end up with somebody back there in those churches of Asia that the Apostle Paul started. Very possibly that would be the case. What a great missionary that he was. And all through his writings, it just rings out, pray, 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 pray. There are so many scriptures that we could look at. Then let's go to Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. We have to read 15 along with this. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You ever had somebody in the church, or maybe several in the church, that have really been a blessing to you? Do you take the time to thank the Lord for them and for their blessing to your life? And pray God's blessings upon them? We should. Philemon, little book of Philemon, just before Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 4. It's only one chapter. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Always. Not now and then, but always. Making mention of you in my prayers. And so we must pray, and we must pray for one another. That comes out here in this passage. If we want to be powerful prayers. I always remember the story I read of a woman who came to the altar every service, and she was weeping on the altar. And finally the pastor went to her and he talked to her, and he said, is there something I could pray along with you about? And she said, I'm praying for my son, my wayward son. She said, I want him to get back with the Lord and I want him to do right. And he said, well, that's good. He said, but have you prayed for the other people in our church and other believers who have wayward children? Have you been praying for them that they would get right? She said, well, no, I hadn't done that. He said, well, you should. We have others that are wayward and not doing what they should. Why aren't you praying for them? And so she started praying for them, and it wasn't very long before her son came and got his heart right with the Lord. There's just something about the scripture. Selfishness, God does not. It's not him. Selfishness is not God when you look through the scripture. And when we are selfish in our praying, it causes our praying not to be what God wants it to be. Number three here we see in this passage, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So number three there, we must be serious. Prayer is serious. Effectual, fervent means to be active and energetic. Because the Greek word that's used here is energeo. And that is the word we get our energy, our word energy from. And so it has to be serious praying. Effectual, fervent prayer. Serious. We're serious. It's mostly translated, if you look this up in a concordance and see how the Greek word is used in the New Testament, it's mostly translated worketh. Worketh. So proper prayer is work. If you are not getting weary with prayer, then you're not praying properly. Because proper prayer will make you weary. It is work to pray the way we ought to pray. And so here we find that proper prayer is work. And notice what it says there about Elijah. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's just like us. He wasn't some superhero. And he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Seriously. Elijah prayed earnestly. Look at the example of our Lord in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verse 44. Here Jesus is praying in the garden, and it says, and being in an agony. Sometimes we agonize in prayer due to situations. So what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed more earnestly. Look in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 concerning the Lord. It says, who in the days of his flesh, so when he walked here upon the earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Strong crying and tears is the example of our Lord. So often our prayer is like the little prayer we were taught when we were kids. Now I lay me down and sleep. Now I pray, my Lord, pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Thanks, Lord. Have a good night. I'm going to bed. You know, what seriousness is in some of our praying? And if we examine some of our praying, it's all about me. Lord, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this for me, and I need you to do this for me, and I need you to do this for me, and would you please also do this for me? It's all about me. What about others? What about the work of the Lord? What he would want? What he would desire when we pray? Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you might just temporarily mention me when you think about it, that you might just kind of breeze over it. No, he says that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Much never happens in the church today because the people of God don't strive in their praying. Very few tears, very few cries, there's very few that are crying and really beseeching God in an agony to do a work. Are we happy that on a Sunday morning we have more empty seats than we do have seats that have people in them? Is that even a burden to us that we haven't seen someone walk the aisle and get saved for quite some time? Is that a burden? Do we really cry to the Lord to do a work in our midst? Well, I think most we could say it's just a routine with us to pray. It's not really that serious. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We are quick to criticize those people that need to step up a bit in their service to the Lord. We're always quick to criticize them, but we're not so quick to agonize in prayer to God for them and to shed tears, that they might really step up in their Christian life and get where they need to be. We lack so often in these areas. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers, with pure conscience, this is the Apostle Paul, that without ceasing I have remembrance of these, talking to Timothy here, in my prayers, night and day. Night and day. I submit to you that the seriousness of our of the situation that we see our churches in today is a lot the reason that God's people don't pray like they should. They don't pray like they should. They don't pray like they should. Well, let's look on here in the book of James and what he goes on to say. If you go back to our verse that we're just kind of using as a guide for powerful praying, he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of course, we know that we can only have the Lord's righteousness through personal faith in Jesus Christ, but he's talking here about doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. There must be uprightness, a determination to do right. There must be uprightness. Uprightness is mentioned several times in the scripture, and it means in the context of our, how we live our life, to stand up straight, to do what's right, to do the right thing, uprightness. So there must be uprightness, a determination to do right. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Here it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Often we hear Christians say, well, I want to really please the Lord. One way you can is to do right and then pray. Do right and pray. The Christian is doing right and praying right is a delight to the Lord. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And then, of course, 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The eyes of the Lord. Such a delight when believers get serious about prayer. And then we see things happen like it says here in the book of James. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. I remember my father-in-law one time, they were working on pouring a concrete floor for the church, and the rainstorm was coming up, which would really make it difficult for them to get that floor poured and pour it properly. And they all got down on their knees and they just cried out to God that he would stop the rain. And they said that what happened, and my father-in-law, if you knew him, he was really, I call him a righteous man. He tried to do what was right. It was important to him. And they, all around the concrete, out around it, all the way around, it was raining and it was no rain on the concrete. And they poured the floor and got it done. There's so many other stories that just like Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. It's a long time, 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. He's a man of like passions as we are. See, prayer can be powerful. But what is the limitation? What is it that stops that? Well, there's some factors here we saw in these verses. There has to be confession of sin. There has to be an agonizing in prayer. It has to be serious when we pray. And we have to be trying and determining to do right for the Lord. You can't short sheet, so to speak, the Word of God. You can't take what many of our churches are doing today and say that, well, in the day and time we live, I think that's okay. I think we can overlook that. No, we can't. We can't overlook the Word of God. Read the Old Testament. Read about the children of Israel. Did God overlook their sin? No. It was very difficult for them because they sinned and they would not get it right, and they blamed God for everything that happened to them. They were out to stone Moses. They didn't yield to the Lord. And so often that's the case in our churches today. We won't yield to the Lord. We won't follow the Lord and what He says in His Word about all the issues of life. We avoid certain things. And we say, well, if I look around me and I don't see that it's a problem. Well, go back and read the Old Testament again. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. They all just flocked together and did what they wanted to do instead of following the Lord. I want you to see one last thing here in Revelation 5:8, where it says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. I still have all of my wife's love letters that she wrote to me when we were in Bible college, and when I would go home for the summer, she would write me letters. I would go every day hoping to get a letter from her, and I still have those letters. I kept them because they're important to me, and that's what the Bible tells us about God does with our prayers. He's put them in this golden vials full of odors, the prayers of the saints. Our praying means something to God. I don't know about you, but if my wife didn't talk to me for even a day, she just wouldn't say a word, I'd wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong? And if it went on that she only talked to me just routinely every day, did take trash out? Just routine things, you know. No conversation at all. And this went on for a week, I would think, does she love me? She doesn't have anything to say. Well, how do you think God feels concerning our prayer life? Do we really treat Him as if He is there and we are talking to Him? And we treat Him as though He's a person, real. And we love Him. I like talking to my wife because I love her. I like to get into conversation with her. And I like to hear her talk. You know, we like to let God talk to us in His Word. And then we talk to Him in our prayer time. And what a blessing it is to develop a prayer life that's serious. That's what comes to me out of James chapter 5. For powerful requirements for powerful praying. And I hope that you'll be challenged in this month that we're kind of emphasizing prayer in the month of August. that you'll be challenged to make a commitment to be a better prayer. Commit yourself to be a better prayer. Actually, there are very few prayer warriors across our country. There are very few prayer warriors, considering all of the believers, true believers that we have in our country. And if we could turn our believers into prayer warriors, we would see things start to happen in our country. So I hope you'll be challenged to work on being a better prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to think about prayer and how important it is. I know my prayer life needs improved. I know that I'm not going to stand up here and say that I'm a prayer warrior. I need more work in my prayer life. And I want to be a better prayer. I want you to be delighted in my life through my praying and how I live my life. I pray that each and every one of us will have the same idea and commitment to be better prayers for you, because it is only through prayer that we're going to be able to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. We thank you and love you and pray that you'll just work on our hearts to be better for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing an invitation song. And